Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. My name is Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Mostly we binge. And Yeah. And the cringe,
The thing about cringing, like, you can usually see that from a large distance away.
Yeah.
And I, again, as somebody that, as I get older, I seem to have less and less free time, I don't want to spend 12 hours watching a show that I don't like.
Yeah.
And usually within that first, I don't know, episode, or sometimes even like the preview, I know that I'm not going. Okay, the new Jack Ryan series, I think it's airing on Amazon.
Yes.
That's a show that had me pretty much the get-go. The fact that they were making a Jack Ryan show already interested
Another me. Case of an actor who he didn't have as much to do, but he Chris Pratted himself. That means got all buffed out. And there you go.
I mean, and I buy him as an analyst.
Oh,
which,
totally.
Which Jack Ryan is. Like, Harrison Ford and Chris...
And Alec Baldwin.
Chris from Star Trek. Chris Pine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he did the, Shadow Recruit? Like, him and Harrison Ford look a lot like, less like analysts. Than I guess the analyst that I have in my head. Now, Jim from The Office... I buy that guy. Like, if you're just showing me pictures of all these guys,
mm-hmm.
and you say, which one of them is an analyst,
bingo.
That's the one I'm going to point at. Alec Baldwin also doesn't look like an analyst. Especially like late 80s Alec Baldwin.
To hear Alec Baldwin talk about Harrison Ford, have you heard that?
Yes.
Oh, delicious.
He was not pleased that he was not Jack Ryan in, not Hunt for Red.
The
he
short version is, it was... At the time, Ford had another deal or something,
when
and the
Hunt
movie
for
was
Red
taken
October,
away from him.
Initially, they wanted him for Hunt for Red October, but he couldn't do it.
Which is a great movie.
Yeah. So Alec Baldwin is Jack Ryan. And you would assume, naturally, that when they do another Jack Ryan movie, I don't remember if Patriot Games or Clear and Present Danger came first, which one was the next one, but... Alec Baldwin, being the actor who had been Jack Ryan in Hunt for Red October, assumed that there was a new Jack Ryan movie,
mm-hmm.
that he would probably be Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
No. Harrison Ford was. And Baldwin, ever so colorfully, did not appreciate it.
I love him so much.
Yeah.
He's so talented.
Seek that story out in its entirety.
It's really worth it.
It's like hearing Kevin Smith talk about
Prince,
working working with Bruce Willis on Live Free or Die Hard and subsequently Cop Out. Like, they're entertaining stories, period. Even if you don't have any interest in the Jack Ryan movies or Bruce Willis or any of those stories are almost as fascinating, and in some cases, especially with Live Free or Die Hard or Cop Out, more entertaining than the films that they happened in.
But for Alec Baldwin, I mean, he was a movie actor. This profoundly affected his career.
Yeah.
Now, I love that he has done so much television. I can just eat it up. But at that time, I mean, he was a hot number, rising star kind of guy. And then it's like, boop, bye-bye.
You know what I'm also kind of curious about? And this wasn't like him being blocked by Harrison Ford for it.
Correct.
All right. Tim Burton directs the movie Batman,
mm-hmm.
in 1989. In 87, I believe, he did Beetlejuice. Maybe it was 88. It's right there before. He picks one of the actors from Beetlejuice to play Batman. Now, he is supposed to be a handsome millionaire playboy. If I were to...
Show you pictures.
if you were to ask me, which one of these is a handsome millionaire playboy? Do you pick Michael Keaton?
You do not.
Or do you pick Alec Baldwin?
Definitely Mr. Baldwin. If you are picking a handyman who looks like you can trust him, Michael Keaton.
Or Mr. Mom. Like, if the internet had have existed back when the original Batman came out,
mm-hmm.
like it does, like... People would have, they would have torn the walls down for Warner Brothers.
By the way, rewatching Mr. Mom, don't. If you enjoyed
don't do that so much.
If you enjoyed it, just remember it fondly. But rewatching it is just.
But I'm confused by Tim Burton going, yes, that is my Bruce Wayne. Now, I love Keaton in that role, but from the standpoint of a producer, you have to sit there and go, wait, Tim, you got Beetlejuice? Isn't Bruce Wayne handsome? Or is it that Batman? Which one are you doing?
He does wear a suit a lot. Anyway, binge or cringe, what was I even going to tell you?
I started with
Alec Baldwin.
I immediately misdirected and.
Okay, well, this is what's been on my mind. Let me see if I can make this leap. Yes. Okay. Alec Baldwin, the handsome everyman, much like, let's say, Paul Rudd, who we love in Ant-Man The Wasp.
Yeah, yeah.
And
liked him in Clueless.
Loved him. And in Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp, I would say the breakout character is his friend, Luis.
Yes.
Michael Peña.
Talk about a guy that I would love to hear do commentary.
Yes. Michael Peña is in a new movie made for Netflix called Extinction.
Do you know what they should have hired him to do?
What?
Explain the plot of every movie on Netflix, but do it as his character from Ant-Man.
Oh, yes.
Like that's what every episode is. It's like, okay, fine. Louise, explain Die Hard. All right, now explain War and Peace. Like, I want to hear his hot take on every film, movie,
as that character.
Book, song.
Oh. I've got to find this for you if it still exists. So my youngest, Jenna, who is just shy of being 12, we'd just seen Ant-Man and the Wasp. This was within 5 days after seeing it. And I don't know, we were doing something. And she wrote a scene of what we had done that day and told it as him. Nailed it. It was like, you were my child. How did you do that?
I've never been more proud.
I was just so proud of her. And it was just what we'd done that day. And she had the timing and everything. I thrilled. I wish I had recorded that so much, so much. I was probably driving. Anyway, so.
I had stayed up late during. What was the first time Perot ran for president?
I have no idea.
Was it like
when Dana Carvey was on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. Well, okay. As a child, I had stayed up late and watched. Like, I would stay up and watch like Saturday Night Live, like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this show's on at like 10:30, and I hear my parents talking about politics while we're driving around in the van. Like, we were probably going out to eat or something like that, and. They're talking about, like, reasons you should vote for this person, you should vote for this person, and I'm just sitting on it because, like, I don't know a lot about politics about that point. Like, basically everything that I knew was from Saturday Night Live, and I launch in to Dana Carvey's impression of Ross Perot talking about what they're saying is just another stupid trade agreement. They just turn around, like, stunned, and I'm either, like, 8 or 12. I don't remember when Perot, I know he did again in, like, 90s.
Yeah.
I want to say I was 12. But, like, they just stop, and, like, they're confused and wrapping their head around the fact that their 12-year-old son is impersonating one of the people running for, that was my moment, but I don't think my parents shared the profound, like, swell of pride that you did, and more just, he's weirder than we thought.
By the way, Dana Carvey on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Dana Carvey, period.
Is a riot.
You know what was exceptional? That I understand why it got canceled. Did you ever watch the Dana Carvey Show?
Yes, and I saw that documentary on it was great. Let's not go down that rabbit
hole. But I'm just saying,
Dana
Carvey is a brilliant man.
Yes,
and that was a brilliant show, also brilliant documentary.
Yes. And he told Seinfeld when people mostly ask him to do the elder President Bush, and he says, this is my response every time, and they're always happy. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. He said the cue cards, I think, read like N-O-G-N-D-O-I, maybe not going to do it.
His best of Saturday Night Live, like they all did like volumes of like mm-hmm. Best of Sandler. Will Ferrell, I think, has three of them. But Dana Carvey's best of, I understand that he had to leave that show at some point, but like that was his holy ground.
So good.
Right there.
So, extinction. Extermination? Extinction.
Extinction sounds right.
Extinction. Okay. So, I watched the entire thing, even though Jim says, you couldn't watch all of Atomic Blonde and you're staying with this? And I said, well, I just need to know where they're going with this. So that means he then has to look up the reviews, read me the reviews, and tell me what's wrong with it. Okay. Again.
And the reviews weren't kind.
No.
I don't think any of them were kind.
I watched it to see where they were going with it. And then I told Anna Grace the entire plot because I said, look, you're never going to waste your time watching it. So I'm going to tell you my version of this movie.
Here's what I would have done.
If they'd had his character as Luis in it, far more entertaining. But it starts out with the sci-fi fantasy talk over, what if everything you knew was wrong? What if you weren't even who you thought you were? What if? It's like,
oh, dear. I can't even stand the prologue.
And so then you see him go to some job where, in my mind, he's working with a leaf blower in an all-white room, I think. And then he has the most annoying 7-year-old child who does every annoying, cliched thing that a kid does in a movie, so much so, if I see that girl in person, I'm having words with her.
Did you ever see the movie North?
This
sounds like sci-fi North.
It may
to
be.
Me.
He also has the precocious teenage daughter who, she, for fun, she hides in the elevator. Plot point. Anyway, I'm already bored. Okay.
The description you're giving it, it's.
So this is a cringe.
It's upsetting me.
This is a cringe. And I may have to tell you the whole thing because it will save you watching it. And you go, oh, yeah, I saw that. Don't watch it. Okay, so here's the thing. He doesn't have any manner of accent or anything. He's playing this totally straight. There's not a single funny line in it.
Which, hiring an actor like him and then not having...
I don't know.
Like, it's like hiring Hitchcock, but like... having him make you a Big Mac.
Okay.
Like, why would you do that?
I don't know.
With that talent.
So here's the movie. Extinction. Extinction. That's the
You need to get
prequel.
It right so they know not
Extinction.
To watch it.
Okay, so he goes to work. He has problems with his family because he's so busy. Why? Because he can't sleep. And everyone says, you need to see someone about your personal problems because you can't sleep. And his boss says like 3 times on that one day when there was the one mistake with the not a leaf blower about how he has to see these people. So he goes to see these people. And why can't he sleep? Because he has dreams of lights from the sky and people getting shot with lasers. Pew, 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 pew. And then, bodies everywhere, pew, 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 buildings falling, I can't sleep. So he goes to the doctor, and he's in the office waiting with some other guys going, so what do you dream about? Are you here because of your dreams? And he's like, uh-huh. And the other guy says,
this feels like Brett Ratner's Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
So he goes, you know what? I come here so they can make me forget because I want to forget. But you know what? Something big's coming. We know what's coming. We're not crazy. It's all real. So the guy goes away with Nurse Ratched, and Michael Pena just hightails it out of there. Happens to be the very night of some party because they've forgotten what their friends look like. And I'm thinking, huh, we don't have people over. Hardly ever. Like, you're the only person allowed over in the house, really. And so, you know, but Jim's personality was not part of this film. So you've got the whiny 7-year-old and her stupid talking monkey that goes, monkey see, monkey do, which is an annoying toy to begin with. And you got pixie cut hair girl, which she's wearing way too much makeup, and she's just bothersome. And then you have the super happy family that they're best friends with.
Would it be easier to describe the things that you like?
Oh, no, no. I haven't gotten to the alien. I haven't gotten to the alien. So they're all at this party, see? And then they look outside. Pew, 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 pew. Things are coming down from the sky. Is this what you dreamed? Oh, honey, I'm so sorry that I said that you did not dream these things. I'm sorry I said it wasn't real. Oh, it was real. So what happens next in your dream? What happens next? And he's like thinking, oh, they all die. But I can't say that because that's a real bummer. So everyone's running. Pew, 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 pew. And then you see a cross between Alien and Predator. A cross between Alien and Predator with some extra insecty things going on and all these insecty noises with weapons just shooting everything. Again, with the pew, pew, pew. And they end up back in their own apartment, blah, blah, blah. The other friend family, everyone gets blown up but his family. And the stupid girl with the stupid monkey doesn't do what she's told. So then the alien comes into their house. But this alien stops at the girl and, like, turns its head and looks at her with all the creepy insect noises. And then Michael Pena, boom, boom, boom. But the alien's not dead, but they don't know. But they escape. And then his wife gets shot. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention at that point. But all of a sudden she's limping. So she's injured. And then he goes to kill the alien, who wasn't dead after all. He goes, why you kill my family? Why you want to do this to my family? And the alien puts both of his hands up as if to say stop. And he stops. And so the alien takes his head off. He's a human. Can you believe it? Why do you want to kill my family? And he says, well, I had to learn all about you, but I didn't sign up to kill kids. I didn't sign up to kill a family. It gets better. It gets better. Oh, my God. So then they get to the factory, which is the government thing that he works at with the not a leaf blower, and they try to fix his wife, but they have like a taser on him. She's going, bleh, and he's all upset. But the doctors go, oh, no, she'll be fine. Take him away. Take him. Bleh. It's like, that's not right. Something's wrong with her. And so then alien guy, who looks a little like John Mulroney, slightly, he says, I can help her. Oh, go kill him. I can help her. So everybody leaves except the alien, Michael Pena, and the lifeless wife. So alien guy starts jabbing into her. He's like, oh, no, man, don't do that. Oh, I can fix her. And then all the black ooze comes out of her. And the alien guy looks at him and says, you don't even know what you are, do you? Mind blown. They're the robots.
did they search through M. Night Shyamalan's trash can?
You know what, man? That was my grandfather's people 50 years ago that left the Earth. So technically, they're the Martians that came back. Pew, pew, pew. And the robot people developed feelings, and everyone had their brains erased except just a few, and they all went and hid the end. Don't watch it.
Like, I mean, real. I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes score and just kind of went, I'll pass. But like after that, like I might,
pew, 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 pew.
I might need to start up like some sort of, I don't, a movement or a charity to make people avoid this film.
Now here's the thing: what really bugged me was why the bug noises? Why? Why are the bug noises playing? There are no bugs. You want us to think they're bugs, and there's only, I think, one actual suit that they use on not John Mulroney. So
I think trying to analyze, do a post-mortem, if you will, on this film is kind of like analyzing the Flintstones' Viva Rock Vegas.
I was so excited about that movie. Even if you do
the autopsy on either of these movies, I think you're going to keep pulling back those onion layers, mm-hmm. and you're never going to solve the problem. You're never going to fix it.
I just had to know where they were headed with this, and so that's why I stuck with it.
I think both of us will watch films in spite of.
Yeah, I knew it was bad, but it's like what I had to know what they were thinking.
It turns out they weren't.
They were not thinking at all. No, not at all. Oh, and oh, with the little girl at one point goes, they killed our parents because they were human and we are not. Like, except she didn't quite deliver the lines like that.
But she might as well.
It would have been funnier. Not a comedy. Anyway, so there's that. And then I chose to watch the new David Spade movie.
Oh, what is it? That Man of the Year? Or
Father of the
Father
Year?
Father of the Year. It was something. Yeah, yeah. I saw it. It Netflix did not suggest to me that I would like it, but I passed through it because it knows better at this point. Like Netflix knows I will smack its teeth out.
You have
if it
to
says
watch
stupid things like that.
You
to
have
me.
To watch like the first 10 minutes just to hear the accents. The accents.
I don't.
It's all done in accent. In the first scene that you see David Spade, he gets in the pool that he's put in the pickup truck. But it's not his pickup truck. And he's naked because he gave his son's friend his swimming trunks. And he falls out.
Is this part of, like, the Joe Dirt shared universe?
With
like...
an accent, with a different accent, yes. It is a drunker Joe Dirt with Boston, maybe? Maybe it's a Chicago thing happened. It's some sort of... I couldn't... It was just an accent, and he's the only one who has it.
You know, really, the only thing I want to see David Spade do, be in movies with Chris Farley, and I understand why he can't do that one, or basically do the Hollywood Minute. Those are the two things I want him
to do. Or I'd like to see him do stand-up.
I will accept that as well.
Or do interviews. I love those.
Like, films that are not with Chris Farley, I don't. Think I can I can't think of one that I enjoyed. I think he did, what was it, the Showbiz Show, maybe, on Comedy Central, that was basically a half hour Hollywood Minute.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was terribly upset when they ended up canceling it. David Spade is just not one that I want to follow everywhere that he goes.
Okay, now as I'm watching this, I'm having... Kevin Nealon was in it? Oh, I missed that part.
Well, I mean, he is one of Sandler's friends. And I guarantee you Happy Madison produced it.
Oh, yeah. David Spade on his nude scene in Netflix's Father of the Year. Okay, so one of the guys I just happened to know because he was in...
You know, even if it wasn't a cringe, I'm going to go ahead and say... that you saying the words David Spade nude scene already, like, sends it into that territory. Or if we want to start breaking it down to which scenes you should cringe at, I can imagine that that's going to be one of them.
Oh, Jared Sandler is in it. I guess Jared Sandler is his Sandler.
Maybe his nephew or son.
Now I have to know.
Uncle.
Okay, so the story is these two friends... have a debate over whose father would win in a fight. Okay, that's really all you need to know. But that doesn't have a lot to do with it. Matt Shively has been around quite some time, and I know he started on some Disney stuff, and then he showed up in, it was a delightful comedy. It was the O'Neills? It was called the O'Neills, maybe?
Maybe, possibly.
Anyway. And he was the boorish older brother, and that was a hoot. I enjoyed him in that. And let's see. Jared Sandler is Nathan. I obviously don't remember him. Mostly the jokes were about David Spade growing a pair of womanly features overnight, but the Benadryl took it away. A stepchild who urinates in things, and
that cinches it. It's definitely a Happy Madison production.
Yes, and a 22-year-old who how shall I phrase this? There's this
delicately.
There's this haggish looking woman that they have to do something for, but in order for her to say the debt is paid,
oh dear,
there was an exchange made, and that exchange continued, and at the end of the movie, she says, wig on or wig off this time. That's really all I can say about that movie.
I don't know if I've ever had
Adam's face.
Man. That's a cringe at the cringe. Like,
yes.
I'm cringing at just listening to why I should.
So, two cringes right there. Right there. So, that'd
two.
Be Extinction and Father of the Year. Just a...
What? Why?
There's so much more I could tell you about why you shouldn't watch it, but by all
no,
means...
No, I think that's enough. Like, there's no reason...
Wig on, wig off. Okay.
There's no reason to... walk down that alleyway anymore.
Nope.
We've already been pickpocketed. Like, there's no reason to stand around and wait for something else to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, there, that happened. However, coming up on, I think I was still on Netflix. Yes. Coming up in August, Ozark season 2. And Ozark is exceptional.
Well, it is Jason Bateman.
Who I adore. And I'm going to rewatch some of it, but let me get this straight. If you haven't, watch the first season of Ozark now. But he's an accountant, yes? Accountant or lawyer?
I've not got to watch it yet. A friend of mine had pointed me toward it.
Well, then let me tell you. I'm pretty sure he's an accountant. Yes, he is. He's an accountant, and some questionable men have come to the company, and they need some things done, and then there's an issue with his partner, and then he, Jason Bateman, ends up moving out to the Ozarks.
And you knew that was coming in there.
Obviously. And he's just who you think Jason Bateman is. You want him as your next-door neighbor. You know he says sarcastic things. He's just a good guy.
He does it so well.
He's handsome, but not in the overwhelmingly
threatening John Hammy kind of way.
Yes, he's just, I like him. I like him a lot. And he is another one who I think that we would just have the biggest time with.
I'd be very disappointed if when I met Jason Bateman and he seems like he is very like off the cuff, mm-hmm. very, very witty, like just seems like a guy you'd want to, I mean, just, you know, go out to eat with.
And I love that he's married to Paul Anka's daughter. That's just a little tidbit that I deeply enjoy that. So he goes out to the Ozark with his family. They don't tell the kids anything. They just up and move, maybe in the middle of the night. And he ends up having, in order to protect his family,
right.
He ends up having to figure out how to launder money. And that's really all you need to know. How he learns to launder money. An enormous amount of money. And the things that he ends up having to do, he's not shooting people or anything, but it's just like he has to figure out how to do this because his family is in great danger. And he's just trying to keep it together. Much like Arrested Development.
Okay.
Yes, it is like Breaking Bad.
Honestly, that's what it strikes. I mean, Walter White goes a little bit, you know, darker, and he's probably not as witty or funny as Jason Bateman is. But the premise at least kind of strikes me in that extreme situation done to protect one's family to a certain degree.
Yes, and that I was going to bring that up.
So it's Accountant Breaking Bad.
Yes. And however, well, it took a while for him to really take a dark turn in Breaking Bad, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas in a lot of shows or movies are about like a character's redemption, Breaking Bad seemed to start at the other end and walk it
yeah.
in the other direction. It wasn't about redeeming that man. It was about him going to that dark place and just continuing his descent.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully in this season, I like Jason Bateman's character being trying to be the good guy. And I like the getting flustered. I like that he has to learn how to do this and that. And then you have his not Laura Dern wife. I forget who it is, but you know, that type of looking.
I mean, honestly, that's what Jason Bateman does best yeah. in his movies. Like, even Zootopia, you've essentially described what his character, that like, doing something he doesn't necessarily want to and getting, like, that's Jason
so
Bateman.
So good at it.
That's what he does.
He can eyebrow act like nobody's business, and it's subtle, and I love it. And I was going to say, it's a little like Arrested Development. By the way, seasons 4 and 5, just don't. But in Arrested Development, he's the normal guy. He's trying to keep it all together for everyone. But they're not in danger of being, you know, gunned down. And no. So their season 1 is about the main bad guy, whose name I obviously forgot. And season 2 is about the law knowing that he exists and how to catch him. But we all know that he's the good guy. But that's what's happening. That's just because okay. I read about that. And I cannot wait to see Ozark. And when I watched Ozark, I had to watch it straight through.
Bateman is not always a sure bet, but usually, like, he seems to clue in on quality.
Yes. Yeah, this is really well made, and I assume if it's not in the Ozarks, it looks like what I think the Ozarks look like.
I'll take that.
Yeah. And I liked it very, very much. So this is a good thing to binge on. No cringe
especially
here.
With season 2 coming up.
Yes. And I think it starts just like in a few days.
It's very soon. I don't remember. Like,
yeah, it's not like end of August yeah. like yeah. Jack Ryan. So there is that to look forward to. And there's one other thing. Oh, we haven't watched Castle Rock. We will. We'll get back to you on that. And you have watched
Supergirl.
Yeah. From have you watched like the whole thing so you're up to date?
Yes, I'd kind of put off initially like all of the CW superhero shows. For whatever reason, whenever I first started watching Arrow, like back when it premiered, the first couple of episodes just didn't catch me.
I just didn't get into the Arrow.
And I didn't. Well, I mean, like I said, I was in that boat. Like, it was.
Is it Arrow or The Arrow?
Just Arrow.
Okay.
So the name of the show is Arrow. The first three episodes didn't really hook me.
And Arrow in The Avengers is actually called?
Hawkeye.
Okay.
He's not. Arrow is not an Avenger. Green Arrow is a sometimes member of the Justice League.
Okay.
Anyways. That
so this show could be called Not Hawkeye.
I don't think DC, like the the entity from or Warner Brothers, the parent company that is producing this, okay. I don't think they would appreciate like that.
What I get from this, it's a Batman thing. He's a rich guy doing something, and he shoots stuff with arrows.
More or less, what I think the producers of that show, they probably ask Warner Brothers initially. If they could do a Batman show, Warner Brothers, let's see, would have been just tying up Dark Knight. And they don't seem to like to let a lot of their properties simultaneously exist, even though like comic book fans have been able to handle this for a number of years. They don't think they can do it in live action media for whatever mm-hmm. reason. Because the show feels like a Batman TV show, but instead of him being a man who dresses as a bat, he's a man who dresses as a green archer. In the comic book, Oliver Queen is very like light. He's kind of quippy. Not a terribly serious character. In this show, he's a dark, dark man. He even gets to fight a lot of Batman's villain. Ra's al Ghul, in what is probably the best villain in season of the show, takes on Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a very popular Batman villain. You see them turning up all the Suicide Squad turns up in Arrow, like
I had to watch the movie.
Like their Suicide Squad was great, but because Warner Brothers decided they were going to make a Suicide Squad movie, they told them they couldn't use them on Arrow anymore.
Oh.
Because Warner Brothers is ultimately the one that gets to tell them what they can and cannot do.
Oh, man, and I feel so bad for the actors.
Deathstroke shows up in the second season of Arrow. Oh, my goodness. It's phenomenal. But then DC decides that they want to put Deathstroke. More, everything this show does, and then it does exceptionally, they're like, why don't we put that in one of our movies? They're not really going into those movies, are they? Like, here, that's successful. We'll take it from them.
And all you actors are now out of jobs because we're not going to employ you in these movies or again on this TV show.
Arrow.
That burns me up.
Arrow is just, like I said, it's the Batman TV show, but instead of a man dressed as a bat, it's a rich man that dresses as an archer. Like, he's got his own, like, team. Batwoman is actually even going to show up in the newest season of Arrow. Like, they have made offhand comments about Bruce Wayne, like, in Gotham City. Like, they evidently exist. None of these characters have showed up. Now, Superman has showed up on Supergirl.
And the Arrow team has shown up on The Flash.
The great thing, and what I don't understand, like, Teen Titans has been mentioned recently that they're going to be going to, like, the DC app.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start having its original programming. Why you would not have tied that into this already established, like, set of shows that's successful enough that the CW has four of these running simultaneously. Mm-hmm. But this one doesn't exist in that universe.
Remember
it's its own
the frog?
I don't...
The frog, this... The WB. Before it was the CW, it was the WB.
Yes, the WWDWB.
Yeah, I just had to throw that out
there.
Yeah,
that he doesn't show up in Arrow at any point.
I wish he would.
I'm betting there's a lot of people that are glad that Michigan J. Frog plays no part in the CW.
So, I should give Arrow more than just one or two watches.
Arrow doesn't get great until probably its second season or late into its first.
And how many seasons are there?
I believe they are going into seven.
Okay.
Whenever it starts, I think it's in mid-October, it'll be season seven. It's the longest of the CW shows. The Flash started, I think, two seasons after Arrow. The Flash is probably the best of the CW shows.
I'm a year behind on it.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's fun. And I was a huge, huge fan of the CB, the very short-lived, I think it ran a season on CBS in 1990. John Wesley Shipp, who plays his father in The Flash, was The Flash on that series.
And I think that's delightful.
Danny Elfman did the score for that. Like, I was 10 years old, and I was glued to that. And then they canceled it.
Of course.
And, of course, several years later, it's more like a couple of decades later, they finally bring The Flash.
A few days later.
The Flash back to television. And, like, this is The Flash I wanted to see when I was 10.
It is super fun. Anna Grace has finally said that she wants to watch The Flash. Do you know why?
Is it because Grant Gustin's dreamy?
Because he can sing and tap dance.
Did she see the the crossover episode with Supergirl where they...
She just saw that one scene.
That was musical
lovely.
Episodes can be train wrecks like Cop Rock, or like it can
once
be...
Once more with feeling, Buffy.
Which is the one I was going to go to.
It's brilliant.
I'm not going to say it's necessarily Once More with Feeling, but it's a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't find it tedious, and it doesn't feel like it's just a gimmick.
Mm-hmm. We have the soundtrack to Once More with Feeling.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And have had it for 3 or 4 years.
It's Joss Whedon knows how to do something with it. Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
I have not.
Oh, dear.
I need this?
Google it. Just Google it and thank me later. Neil Patrick Harris, Joss Whedon.
No.
It
NPH?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember. I think this was during a writer strike or something. But basically, Joss Whedon just got he brings Nathan Fillion into.
Another guy I think we'd enjoy.
I don't understand how you have not. Just
I hope I missed.
Just
this.
Watch it and then tell me what you think and thank me. It's remarkable.
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I need this.
There shouldn't be more than one pop-up with that name.
I would imagine.
The Flash, fantastic.
So, Supergirl.
Supergirl is the one that I went to, last. You also have, my mind just stopped. Legends of Tomorrow, which basically they use a lot of characters. Arrow and Flash go through a lot of auxiliary characters,
mm-hmm.
like ones that show up for episodes or maybe just seasons, but they're ones that they didn't necessarily just want to throw away. They're like, this character is interesting. So they put them in this show that's about time traveling and fixing.
I saw the first season of that. There were parts of it I enjoyed and parts
Legends
of it.
Legends is not remarkable. It's probably my least favorite of all of them, but it's still watchable enough. That you've got Brandon Routh.
Yeah.
Plays the Atom. Like, Routh, say what you want to about Superman Returns. Like, Brandon Routh was a good Superman, I think, in a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
And here, he is was in, I believe it's the third season of Arrow. He played the Atom. And I think they didn't want to lose him there, so they put him in here. One of... Her name is escaping. It's Laura Lance's sister, mm-hmm. in the show.
From Lance Crackers?
No, not that.
From Lance Lank,
her,
Secret
her sister,
Chimp?
Her sister is killed by the League of Shadows
yes.
in that show. I'm not going to, if you do want to go down, and this is a rabbit hole that is deep.
Yeah.
If you go down it, the sister is killed, but through comic book stuff, she is alive now in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
She is probably the best thing about that show. She, mm-hmm. She again, has been trained by the League of Shadows. Like, she's a deadly assassin. She's an interesting, actress.
Fighting lesbian?
Yes.
Okay.
That's not her name on the show, but that is the, yes.
Yeah.
That, like I said, Legends is not great, but especially if you're going to have immersed yourself in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Usually
she is a great character.
The seasons are shorter. Watch Legends. Maybe not immediately. But it's worth the viewing. Supergirl, I got to last just because the thing, it's the one that I had the least, in common with, I guess. Does that make enough sense? Like, Grant, The Flash and Arrow,
they're all boys and she's a girl.
I didn't read Supergirl when I was a boy. She crossed over occasionally into the stories, but at the point that I had caught myself up on Legends, Arrow, and The Flash, I was just because she would always show up in the crossover episodes,
mm-hmm.
And she, the actress herself, didn't play a bad Supergirl. Like, it wasn't to the point that I was just this is horrendous, this is excruciating,
mm-hmm.
why are you subjecting me to seeing this character?
When I can watch Extinction.
Just do literally anything else. Hit myself in the head with a frying pan. Anything. And Lauren, my daughter, I also want her to be able to see, strong females, or mm-hmm. strong female role models. I want her to understand that, girls are capable of anything that boys are. And so initially it just started out that the two of us were watching this. I wanted something that the two of us can kind of engage in together.
Mm-hmm.
And she enjoyed it, but she does not have the dedication to watching television shows that I do.
That's a shame.
So eventually I'm just doing these on my own. And
yeah.
I'm just there's something funny about this. Kristen would wake up in the middle of the night, if I couldn't sleep, and she's what are you doing? And I'm watching Supergirl. The people from the Bottle City of Kandor, and she's just are you watching Supergirl? Supergirl, I think, also came about that they wanted to do a Superman show.
Mm-hmm.
But Man of Steel, Henry Cavill, all Warner Brothers, the film side, is mm-hmm. using that character.
And is Ally McBeal still in it?
She shows up occasionally. Whenever they moved from CBS to CW in the first and second season, on CBS it was shot in L.A., which she was fine with. They are now in Vancouver, and apparently Calista Flockhart wasn't flocking there.
Well, she's married to Harrison Ford. She doesn't have to do anything if she doesn't want to.
No, no. But, I mean, she'll show up in, like, an episode or two. Like, she's a guest star now, and, like, you can still feel her presence in that show because the one of the mainstays of it, Catco Worldwide, her character, Cat Grant, was the owner of that. And, like I said, she'll just kind of stick her head in occasionally now. But, like I said, her presence is still there because, her company's there.
Yeah, it's a great character. I was glad they didn't recast.
I don't think that's not the kind of character you can just recast. I mean, sometimes you get lucky with, like, what they did with Michael Gambon in the Harry Potter movies after Richard Harris had passed. But Calista Flockhart had a very definitive stamp on that character. And, I mean, the show was built around it. And I think you just – you kind of risk your audience turning on you if you try to undo, redo, or kind of change that particular element of it. The Martian Manhunter shows up. The Fortress of Solitude shows up. Like, Superman even shows up in this show. I think he's been in a total of, like, 4 episodes. It's all, they pull all of this fascinating, like, Superman lore, but because the show isn't called Superman, or they wouldn't let them use Superman as the genesis point, or maybe because they had worn out Smallville.
In the first season, I don't think they ever said Superman.
I think they allude to him, like, he's Jimmy Olsen is allowed to name, and even in the theme song, like, they even say, and they're like, my cousin, Superman, but he's a silhouette. The character doesn't show up until I think it's the beginning of the second season. But you get all of this stuff that I read in, like, Action Comics, Superman, Man of Steel, Superman, the Adventures of Superman, just normal, regular. They had 4 or 5 Superman comic books monthly when I was a kid, and I would do whatever I could to get these. And they're bringing those characters, like Parasite is in Batman and Spider-Man have the greatest rogues gallery of any two comic book characters. But in a distant third, Superman has a fascinating set of these side characters, the Guardian, like all of this stuff that as a kid, I was just like, I want to see this in a movie. And, like, they still haven't touched it in movies. This show is doing some deep cuts into the Superman mythos.
Okay.
They're using a lot of, like, the Supergirl stuff, but, like, her pantheon doesn't run as deep. I don't dislike the character, but, it, like I said, as a comic book fan, that was never a book that spoke directly to me.
But for girls to watch for their own superheroes, do you feel it is it empowering?
I think being able to see somebody that is very similar to yourself is empowering to a certain degree. And while I am not a blonde girl or a girl at all.
Not a blonde one.
I never had any shortage of, like, seeing a white male character doing exceptional things. Like, I've never had to worry about seeing myself represented or in some way on the screen. But having seen this character and seeing how my daughter reacts to it, and again, wanting to make sure that she understands that, like, anything a boy can do, you can do.
Except write your name in the snow.
Yeah. Never mind. We're gonna accept that one. But yeah, I particularly enjoy it because you are seeing this character, like, tremendously powerful character.
So in a few years you're gonna Buffy her.
I want to slowly walk them into that because you can't start at the end.
No, you can just stroll into Buffy.
And, like, Joss Whedon, who is also an incredible writer of, like, strong female heroines. I figured Supergirl was a good enough starting point. But it does make me proud that she can see something, and it's something that I can also do with her.
Nerd like, out, yeah.
As a parent, like, you do want to find ways to connect with your kids, because, like, okay, Fortnite, like, I'm not connecting with my kids on that. Like, I just hate that thing.
I haven't even seen it. I've just heard about it.
Be glad that you have girls.
Oh, they want to play it.
Oh, all boys.
I just don't have it.
It's like what Ninja Turtles were in 1988.
Oh, wow, those were everywhere.
It just, like, one of my boys, he's got a backpack for it. Like, anything that they do, it has to be, oh, I want to get V-Bucks, which is the currency that you can spend in the game, but you have to use real-life currency to buy the...
Oh, by the way, I want to know if you knew this phrase. I knew what it meant when I heard it, but still. So, Anna Grace was on our last show to talk about Voltron,
right.
Which... She's made sure. She goes, don't talk about anything that I have something to say on this show. I said, okay, fine, whatever.
We'll do our best.
I'm not letting you watch Ozark anytime soon. So, there was a point to this. What was it? Oh, it was good. Oh, that's right. Anime. We were in Shea Walmare, and there were all these anime posters up, and she was just going nuts over them. And I said, now you say so many people don't know you love anime. Clearly, the people do. They're selling them in Walmart, and there are like three different kinds, and they're not all Dragon Ball Z. So then we're all talking, me and both of my she-spawn, and I said, well, you know, you don't have to go, hey, do you like anime? You can just say, what do you like to watch? And if they name an anime that you're not hot on, like Dragon Ball Z, you can say...
Or a thread that you can pull, at least.
Yeah, you like can say, yeah. Well, you might like this show. And then Jenna says, no, Mom, you can't do that, because then they'd take your cinnamon bun. Okay. And I said, and where did you get that term? The internet. This is what taking your cinnamon bun means.
Okay, I was like, you're going to have to tell me.
I'm going to.
That phrase, all it means is that someone is taking my delicious pastry from me.
Well, apparently, if you watch anime in particular, and you really like character A, that is, you identify with character A, and you meet someone, and they also watch the same show, and they also like the same character, but feel differently about it, then they're taking your cinnamon bun.
That's a... how did that phrase...
I don't know. But they're both like, oh, yeah, Mom, it's all over the internet.
Mom, I'm a cinnamon bun. Cinnamon bun.
Like, okay, so cinnamon bun. And I said, that is stupid.
I'm perplexed.
And
I'm
then... Gonna... Oh, you'll love this. So then I said, that... Cinnamon buns have been taken between Star Trek fans for years over who's the best captain. And I said, and we all know the answer is, and Jenna goes, Picard. I said, it's always Kirk. And I said, why did you say Picard? You haven't even seen more than two episodes. I just think he's cool.
I would argue, and I'm going to try not to walk.
Yeah, we're not going to. We don't have time for this. But
it's
yeah,
it's the Star Trek that made you fell in love with
yes.
the franchise.
Oh, I totally
like,
agree.
I would agree with her. I think Picard is the better captain.
But he's really your first captain.
But I am a TNG like Trekkie. Like that was my entry.
That was your gateway drug
into the franchise. Whereas in people that say like caught DS9 and that's what led him into it, they're going to tell you Captain Sisko.
Mm-hmm. It makes total sense.
And I've heard idiots tell me that Janeway is the best captain.
I know.
And I'm just like, guys, that is absolutely
Chakotay.
Positively not.
They're all taking your cinnamon bun, man.
Oh, that's...
So now, you're welcome.
I'm going to try to fit that into
apparently, all the kids are saying it. Or just my two.
I'm going to use it on mine and see if...
I
get any reaction.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past my girls to have made
invented
it up and said, let's see if Mom will believe this. That they would also do that.
That I want to Google it and it come up with no hits. and have realized what they did. That would be
so delicious.
I would like
Speaking of which, I would like a cinnamon bun.
Speaking of delicious.
Going to me right now. So, binge or cringe, extinction, cringe. After that, Father of the Year, cringe. But I want you to watch
Glavin.
I want you to watch the first 10 minutes for the David Spade nude in the pool. You don't see any bits and pieces. And the accent. and then Ozark. Season 1's already up. You need to see season 2. And Supergirl, apparently, not bad.
If you are going to watch the CW shows, like...
Watch Supernatural.
Dig into it hard. Dig into, yeah. Like, just watch. That's what happened with me. I started watching The Flash, and I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Which eventually led me to Arrow, which eventually led me to Legends of Tomorrow, which eventually led me to Supergirl.
So you're all caught up on Supergirl?
Yes. I'm ready
Supernatural
for
now.
Everything. Is that
Supernatural?
Is that the app now that allows you to watch all of Supernatural?
If not, I will act out every scene of all of them.
I want to call you on that.
So... We're watching Supernatural because I stopped watching it a few years ago because I wanted to get the girls into it and I wanted to watch it with them. So now we are caught up to the 3 years I haven't seen. And in this last year that I had already seen, you have Crowley, the King of Hell, who's, of course, hilarious, and his mother, Rowena, the redheaded witch from Scotland, shows up, also hilarious. And Anna Grace says to me, she says to me, you know, you would talk to me just like she's talking to him. I could see you doing that.
Your daughter called you the mother of hell? Like, is that what you're...
She's just a big deal witch, really.
I don't know. If somebody told me, they called me like Al Pacino...
It was a compliment.
If somebody called me like Al Pacino from Devil's Advocate, like... I don't know if I'd be terribly... I'd just be like, really? That's kind of cool. Like, I mean, I'm not the devil, but yeah. I hope that's not what you were saying.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yes, the CW has a lot to offer. I have not seen Riverdale, but I do know the song Sugar Sugar.
Which is basically like watching the show?
I think it has changed radically.
Yes, this is not... This is not Archie and Friends. Like, I think
it's a Gossip Girl version of it.
It's a much, like, it feels like the darker, grittier, because I thought it was strange when I heard that they were doing Riverdale in the first place. But then, like, when I started seeing the previews, I was like, oh, this is different. This is not Archie and Company that I watched on Saturday mornings. Like,
no.
That ain't the Jughead I know.
So, yeah, I feel the need to at least watch one episode so I can pass judgment. I watch way too much of the CW. How do you watch so much TV, Jane? I'll tell you. Streaming Unlimited on Verizon.
And coffee.
I just turn it on in the car, flip it over. You'd be surprised how much you want to watch a screen when you're driving. I have to turn the phone over.
Which is why they have laws.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
About why you cannot.
But the pull is there. The desire to look is there. So I flip it over and I listen.
I think that's best. Yeah. I think that's best for your surrounding Everyone. Motorists.
But you know, when I was experiencing that desire to look, I went, oh, I understand now why the guy in the self-driving car was watching something. It's like it's you can't help it. So you have to have a lot of discipline.
Your car is going to self-drive.
I know. I mean, wasn't that the point? I hate it. This was three years ago. I hate it that he's dead, whoever you were, guy. But again, if your car is going to self-drive.
What am I supposed to do?
That's the point.
I'm not driving,
obviously. I don't blame him for watching something. But yeah, I do listen to a lot. But I pick carefully what I listen to. For instance, I listened to Father of the Year, glanced at it once in a while when I wasn't driving, because I knew that I didn't have to watch a lot of it.
This was not a visual feast.
No. Nor was Extinction, and yet I watched that in my home. So there you go. That's our binge or cringe. We're most excited about Ozark. I think. Yeah.
And I think I'll sample some Riverdale so I can pass some judgment.
Yeah, I feel the need to, you know.
I don't think I'm going to enjoy it, but I don't want to make that kind of decision I've at least experienced some of it.
It's no Hotel Transylvania 3.
No, and not a whole lot is going to be.
Anyway, if there are any shows that you want us to watch for you because you're just on the fence about it and you don't know how to make time to watch TV,
we'll shove you off of that fence.
Here, I get to say this because I have depression, so I'm talking with Anna Grace, and I said, I just want you to know, I would never get so bad to off myself, and honestly, TV, I said, there's too much I need to see. Even at my downtime, just like, I really need to have some closure here. And she said, you're right. I feel the same way. There's too much I have to watch. So if anything happens to us, someone did us in. We did not do it ourselves.
Or they cut the cable. Like,
didn't we already do that?
They were just, or your internet. Like, they shut down your router.
Yeah, that would be horrible. But then I would just go to a coffee shop. Yeah, I watch a lot.
Nothing wrong with that.
I know.
Well, I mean, but listen.
There probably is.
Listen to who's like justifying that.
I know. Nothing wrong with it. When the doctor says your kids shouldn't have more than 2 hours of screen time, including TV, I'm like, what?
What kind of doctor are you?
Dr. Evil, maybe.
I don't know. I need to hear some facts before I agree with something like that.
I am having a hard time as a kid who never liked to play outside because reasons, and I really like watching TV and movies. Look how I turned out.
And this is the golden age of at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Like just.
We haven't yet reached the point of the people in WALL-E.
We have not.
It's approaching.
I guarantee it. Somewhere.
Okay, someone has.
Somewhere.
Yeah, someone has. Anyway, so if there's something you want us to check out for you, by all means, let us know. You can find us all over the interwebs. This is Binge or Cringe. Thanks for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.